Turn to your Bibles to Psalm chapter 46. This is the very verse that this morning, and it was King James, by the way, that Charlie Kirk's wife posted on her Twitter account this morning before the shooting took place. Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, certainly love you. Lord, I ask for your help tonight. Lord, I certainly need your grace. I need your guidance, your wisdom. And Lord, I pray that you would use this to be a help, Lord, to our church, to be a comfort in light of the events that have taken place in our nation today. And Lord, even use it to stir our hearts, Lord, to get focused on you instead of the things of this world, of realizing all that is at place and the spiritual warfare that is very real, and all the events and everything that is happening to our nation, and how important it is that we are to be salt and light. Lord, I pray that you would guide in this. Lord, I do pray if there's anyone here who is never trusted Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray that even this evening they would repent and place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Lord, I love you. I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Again, as I mentioned earlier, there are times when obviously events in the world or in our nation necessitate me changing what I would have normally preached for a service, or in this case, I did this morning. I texted Israel, asked them if you'd like to preach this evening, and then this afternoon, with everything taking place, I texted him back and said, "Brother, I'm going to need to preach tonight." I had heard, like most of you, I was in the middle of actually studying for the King James series when the word came in that I saw a headline flash up that Charlie Kirk had been shot. Of course, I immediately went on to Twitter at the time, saw the footage of it. When I saw the footage, I realized very, very doubtful, apart from a miracle, that he would survive that. I was, to be honest, profoundly upset, angry, and certainly affected by his murder. You might not know who he was, but he was a man that was a man that I had come to admire over the last several years. He would boldly proclaim the gospel to thousands of university students. Very strong voice for our nation on the political side and for Christ. A strong advocate for homeschooling. A man who certainly had some God-given wisdom. And without a doubt, if you followed anything with the last election, he was one of three key people in our nation that the Lord used to bring about the election results that we saw last November. Again, as I mentioned, he was a saved man, beautiful family, a wife and two children. They report that he's 31 years old. I don't know why. Everything else says he's born in 93. I believe that would make him 32, if I'm right. Am I thinking right? Maybe I'm not. and he was not afraid at all to stand for our Lord. He had talked many times prior to this, many times that he knew. And make no mistake, between with all the conservative voices, and the Lord, and there's a lot out there, but if there anybody was going to be a target, it was going to be this man here. There was difference about him because the gospel came with it. That's not true of other key men in our nation. That's not true of Ben Shapiro. That's not true of Michael Knowles. That's not true of some of these other voices. This was the voice that also brought the gospel when he traveled. again, I do not believe this attack was really at all about politics. I believe it was about God. And even this evening, I want to preach a major part of this as if even in our service tonight with Charlie's wife to try and be a comfort and, of course, a comfort to our church. Let me start this evening by saying I believe politics in America after today has forever changed. We've all recognized this, and it certainly is come to be so evidently true today that the liberal left is outright evil and demonic? I don't know who the shooter is. I know we haven't found that out yet. But I'm talking aside from that. Watching over and over the reactions from the left of absolute celebration over the brutal murder of this man. Purely evil and demonic, without a doubt. I also find it the Lord's timing, if not ironic, at the very least, at the last two Sundays we have been dealing with our adversary, the devil, and even laying out 2 weeks ago the fact of his kingdom and who he is and how this works. I believe multitudes of those that are on the left being used in this spiritual kingdom don't even realize it. How do we know the liberal left is now demonic? One, it's clear in their goals. Not so much the stated ones they like to write down. They like to talk fine about the nation, I believe. At the surface level, they believe that. They just don't understand what's going on behind the scenes because they're blinded by the god of this world. You can see the massive assault by this major political power, one of the most major influences in the world, on the two primary institutions that have been given to man in order to glorify God, and that is the family and the church. This is what demonstrates how evil has taken over the left. It is of a pure demonic force. The prince of power of the air has been using the American media as well to further his cause. The nonsense of fascism and dictatorship, instilling fear into people in our nation, inciting people to violence with all the rhetoric and the nonsense, using race to create division. We are all witnessing that this political left and the spiritual darkness realm with demonic forces being used to simply destroy this culture and our nation. Violence everywhere. Again, the attack that we are seeing take place is without a doubt evil and demonic. I don't know if you saw this today, but it was absolutely disgusting and pure evil when the Congress tried to hold a moment of silence followed by a prayer for Charlie's family. To listen to the Democrats interrupt it with foul, vulgar language spewing out of their mouth in protest of that. Absolutely demonic. This is our nation. This isn't happening in some third world African nation right now. This is the United States of America. I mean, when you look at the breakdown of the attacks, just look at the liberal left. They can't even see it. We are supposed to be the salt and light. That's not what I'm preaching tonight. And you need to pray because I've been building this message throughout this afternoon. I'm just going with different thoughts and Psalm 46 ringing out from Charlie's wife. But just look at the political left, those who follow this ideology. You can see the demonic influence. You can see almost the bitterness and anger in their faces, the mutilation of their body with different piercings. And it's just incredible. We're witnessing it. The attack on the family is clearly seen. Clearly seen being used by the left, not even extreme left. An attack on the family that I don't believe they even recognize. At its peak right now with the transgender movement, which is absolutely destroying so many lives and is a direct attack on the family. The devil started breaking down the difference between genders going back in our nation about 100 years ago. We're just seeing the culmination of it taking place right now. Demonic. The effort is there. You can see, just like we talked about on Sunday, or the Sunday before, the wiles, the method, the strategy that is in place for destroying the family. The feminist movement on top of this, purposely degrading the position of a mother. One of the highest callings you can do. Listen, it's more important that you are home with your children and raise them than it is that you're running a calculator somewhere. What in the world? Is not the family the first institution that God has given? You have other lives that God has entrusted to you. And I understand that one of the ways the devil has done this is almost by necessity. I mean, look at the price of housing today. The cost of living has shot up. Do you think that's just a coincidence in trying to force it where both have to work? The feminist movement with this divorce skyrocketing, trying to argue that men and women are equal. We're not equal. We're different. The mantra here that has been taking place, down with the patriarchy, echoing out everywhere. No, that's just about destroying the way God designed the family to work. There is an all-out assault by the devil and his minions on the family, and he is using a major political party to accomplish it. When you destroy the family, you destroy the culture, the results will be devastating and severe. Secondly, we've seen the attack on our churches. And I could list here, even from the government, from the political side, where we can see that taking place, the attacks coming against good, solid churches, the government trying to interfere, taking aim at them with attacks. However, let me be clear about this. Without a doubt, the devil's strategy has been much more effective from within than from without. In putting in wheat among the tares, or tares among the wheat. I mean, think about it. More churches today are more houses of entertainment than they are giving truth for people to live by. How sad. Churches today even embracing wokeism from the pulpit. Again, the events that took place today were pure evil. And I think one of the key verses for us is found in the very verse that Charlie Kirk's wife posted this morning before her husband was ever assassinated. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I doubt she even understood the very chapter she was in and the message of the entire chapter. Look at the rest of the chapter. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof war and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams, wherefore shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttereth his voice. The earth melted. Think about that. What God needs to melt it isn't fire. He just has to speak it. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What an incredibly fitting chapter for what's taking place considering the state of our nation. What I want us to see tonight is I want to demonstrate to you God's sovereignty, how he is the shelter, our strength, our support, and then that stillness that we need. First off, the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God, we can see it so at play today. Simply, listen to me, by the fact that this was the verse that Charlie's wife posted. I want you to think about this. It wasn't so much for our nation. The Lord already knew what she was going to be going through in just hours. already had her mind on the very thoughts she was going to need that day. God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. You can see where he was in control. I don't understand why God allowed this to happen, but I know he's in control, already giving his wife the thoughts she would need. I mean, what incredible love God has for us. He knew the pain that was coming and already helping to prepare for what was there. We live in a sin-cursed earth. One day that will be over, and I certainly look forward, can't wait till that time. People always ask the question, they say it's the big answer that we can never really answer. We don't understand suffering with God. Is there? No, he makes it clear. It's a sin-cursed earth. It is a result and punishment of sin. One day that will end. We will be with the Lord for an eternity. There will be no suffering, no pain, no loss, no demonic evil influences. That will all be over with. And I do believe that day is coming very soon. But from now, when I look at the events, it reminds me when she posted that verse, I just thought, wow. Man, God is so in control. We can take comfort in knowing just that. And from there, we build it. We see in this verse, it goes on in there to let us know that God is our refuge. And he is just that. The word refuge means to flee. To flee to take shelter in. It denotes a place which one would flee in time of danger. A lofty wall, a high tower, a fortress. It is this very verse and chapter that where the hymn is derived from, a mighty fortress is our God. He is our refuge. This deals more with a defense when things are happening, when our world is falling apart and trials are hitting and all that's going on, even as I think what Charlie's wife is going through. It is him that we actually flee to. When we actually learn to walk by faith and actually understand he is the refuge. If he's not being that for you, then you're not going to him. You're trusting in something else. He is our refuge. We get so caught up in the carnality and our own selfishness and things like that, that really it's rare that we actually turn to him. We turn to our own devices. But he is our refuge. He is there. When the disciples were in the boat with the Lord, do you remember that? The storm hits. The Lord's sleeping in the boat. The storm hits. They all fear for their life. And they cry unto the Lord. And I could drive so many lessons from that with God being our refuge. But here's a key point we learn from that. We look at safety, protection, purely from a circumstantial level. That's not how it is with the Lord. However, our safety is based on the Lord being in the boat. Know what that verse showed me? The Lord was in the boat with her. The storm was going to hit. I'm in the boat. He never, ever, at that time, I don't understand why God would allow this. What do you mean? The Bible is filled with it. Suffering will happen. It will occur. What he promises us as his children is, I'll be in the boat. I'll be in the boat. I'm the refuge. God is not bound by circumstances. Even this evening with Charlie's family, God is there. He's the refuge they can just go right to right now. And know what's amazing about God? He understands perfectly
the extent of the sorrow and the pain.
He is the shelter. He is the refuge. And this is true for all of us who are the Lord's. Yet we choose not to walk by faith and go our own direction too many times and begin making a lot of bad decisions. He is the refuge. Is that not incredible? The Creator of the universe? We need to stop taking refuge in things of the world. You will find out how weak they are. What you have chosen to take refuge in will come crumbling down. Not only is He our shelter, our refuge, but He is our strength, it says. There have been so many times in my life, I am 55 years old, where I have just felt emotionally, spiritually drained without strength. To the point, Lord, I'm done. And yet, without fail, simply truly fallen before Lord, humbling myself, and seeing God's strength coming in. He is our strength. This verse implies not our strength here, but God's strength. It's not God increasing our strength, but it's Him being our strength. It's His strength that comes into play. This is how Christians can face great tragedy. Because God is our strength. We as Christians, when we face these things, and we all will, at different levels, we don't have to run to doubt. We don't have to run to drugs. We don't have to run to alcohol. We don't have to run to some escapism. We just simply have to go to the Lord. He has the strength that we need. Let God be your strength. I assure you, God has the ability to carry whatever it is you're facing. But listen, there's a danger mentality in Western culture that has come in. The devil's strategies and all of this, it's almost like as if he has people convinced, no, you don't want strength. You want to be a victim. Stay there. No, that's not what you want. You want to be able to glorify God with your life. To show God makes a difference, to rise above. To show that we are more than conquerors. It is God's strength that comes into play. We have the truth of those great verses like Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He is our strength. It's not about getting bitter. It's about trusting in God and His strength. When that was over with, my thoughts were, and probably true of a lot of us if you've come to admire Charlie Kirk. At first my thought was, I want the rapture to come today. I'm going to be honest with you, but my thoughts were very carnal. Not for me. I wanted judgment to fall. I did. I just, Lord, come. Let's begin this now. It's a matter of not getting bitter. Waiting on the Lord for His strength. We don't quit. We are the ones who have the understanding of why we are here. We are the ones who actually have the understanding of all that's taking place. The other world, they have to sit there tonight and wonder, what's going on? Why is all this happening? We know. And then we see He is our support or our help. Isn't this just such a great portion of this verse? A very present help in trouble. What a great truth. Again, I found this to be true here. I found this to be true in New Guinea, where God was such a present help at times of being overwhelmed, at times of starting just to break down and wanting to turn to the flesh. But yet God is there. He is a very present help. If we just stay focused on God, get our eyes off of self for a little bit. And again, the teaching here is obvious. Nowhere does the Bible teach, as I've already said, that we will not have trouble if you follow God. Trouble's going to come. I mean, the Bible makes it clear, those who are going to stand for truth, you know what? You're going to have trouble. The word help has the idea, assistance, aid. It goes on and on. The word trouble covers all that can come upon us which would lead to anxiety or sorrow. The truth is, as it says, God is there. He is a very present help. Have you ever had those times in your life where you have wondered, where is God? In our day of we must see to believe, we fail to practice the presence of God. We fail to see the reality of God in our life, that He's right there. I've done this. I mean, does it not say He is a very present help? I mean, how clear this truth is when you consider the very thoughts that Charlie's wife, Charlie would not need the help in trouble. He went in the presence of the Lord immediately. But the one who would need it would be his wife. It shows how He was a very present help. God was right there. I mean, many times we'll think of how powerful and how mighty God is that we serve, yet we fail to realize how personal God is. And His desire to be there with us through all aspects of our life. How He desires to help us in our faith. He knows every worry, every desire, everything that frets you, everything that's on your mind. He is there. Of course, we believe in God, but we fail to see Him in our very real personal life. We fail to see that He's a very present help in time of trouble. The problem is, if you don't recognize that, you're not going to Him. You're going to turn to your own schemes and devices. The truth is, God is actually with you. Is that not incredible? He is present. And even now, as I prayed for Charlie's family today, it is a comfort to know God is right there. The same is true for us when we go through different battles and trials or even every day in our life. God is there. I don't know what it is that you're battling, but make no mistake, God is there. So start to go to Him for your efforts. Start to go to Him for your strength on the offense. Start to see Him as the very present help that He is and live to glorify Him. There is great peace that in knowing that God is there. It was this not the truth in John chapter 14, when this is in the upper room, when the very last discourse that Christ had with the disciples before He is arrested, they're up there. And we have just you start back near the end of 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, all that's taking place with this conversation. And He has let them know that He is going to be, His time is up, He is departing. They weren't understanding. He outright told them of His crucifixion. They weren't getting it. And He sees the concern, the worry, the fretting on their mind that He is leaving. They've been fallen for 3 years and Christ recognizes it. At that moment, He doesn't condemn them. What He said is this. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." You want to know why? What did He say next? You believe in God. God is there. You believe in Him.
Listen, is this a fairy tale? Then he's there. Then he's there.
And then lastly, this evening, verse number 10. Be still and know that I am God. Look at the context of this, especially in relation to our nation. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. What a great truth this verse gives us. Be still and know that I am God. This, so often, that was so difficult for us to do. The word still there has the meaning, be calm, no anxiety, a demonstration of faith. Knowing God's in control. He's my help, He's my refuge, He's my strength. I believe it. I will be still. I know God is there.
We need to be still. Stop fretting. Stop being so anxious. Stop wondering about tomorrow. Cease from your own frantic efforts. Or those trials and those storms will overtake us. I mean, we see what's taking place in our nation. And verse 10 in context is all about, when I think of our nation, be still. Know that I am God. In the light of everything that's taking place right now, I will be exalted. There's a day coming. The verse came to mind as I was going through. It hit me. The day's coming. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord.
Now, our goal is, this is two-sided right here, I believe. I believe where God's heart is clear from Scripture that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is that through the gospel that He is exalted in their life.
But we do know the reality of His return. Of that day that the Bible was addressing there in Philippians, when every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess.
As it deals with here in Psalm chapter 46, the heathen rage now. We can see by many the absolute disgusting celebrations from the death of this man. But I am telling you, the day is coming when God will be exalted.
He is coming. The Lord will return. And even so, and I mean this not the same spirit had earlier, but even so, come Lord Jesus.
And we look at everything that's taking place with Russia and Ukraine, even the events with the excursion into Poland, this mess of ramifications with that. Nepal falling apart, Europe being overrun with Muslims, completely changing what the continent of Europe is. Violence everywhere.
But when I look at that, no, all I have to do is this. Be still. So, I will be exalted. When we were going through Revelation, one of my favorite portions, I enjoyed the series a lot when we went through Revelation. But I think one of my favorite portions was when we were getting near the end. And the reality of that day, when we're all before the presence of God, glorifying Him. All the millions upon millions of people redeemed. I mean, that's the culmination of all of this. That day is coming. Again, I say it all the time. Life is about Him. You have so many things pulling you, get your mind on this and this and that. And then the storms come. And I'll tell you what, it's so easy for those to get your mind actually off of God instead of running to God. But He is there. He is the refuge. He is the strength. He is the help. He's the very present help in time of trouble. He's there. The events that happened today in our nation did not surprise God at all. He's in control. I don't understand why he allowed it to happen. I don't understand why he allowed Stephen to be martyred. Let me back up. I do now. I shouldn't say that. Within that moment, nobody understood. The church did not understand why Stephen was martyred. I mean, could you not think, was he not a voice of the day of the gospel? Probably one of the most powerful ones at the time. But there was a man there named Saul, who I believe I can demonstrate from Scripture. We already went through Acts, and I've already talked about that. Was the man that Stephen was debating with in that synagogue. I believe that was Saul and Stephen. He gives consent unto his death. And you can just imagine the church at this time. Why Stephen? There was this man that God was pricking his heart. He would come to know the Lord and become perhaps the greatest Christian who ever lived. The events that happened today were not a surprise to our Lord. He's in control. We have to go simply to that truth of Psalm 46:1. What a great, great verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. With heads bowed and eyes closed.